Unit 20. The Immortal Bard by Isaac Asimov.
Oh, yes, said Dr. Phineas Welch. I can bring back the spirits of the illustrious dead. He was a little drunk, or maybe he wouldn't have said it. Of course, it was perfectly all right to get a little drunk at the annual Christmas party. Scott Robertson, the school's young English instructor, adjusted his glasses and looked to right and left to see if they were overheard.
Really, Dr. Welch?
I mean it. And not just the spirits. I bring back the bodies, too.
I wouldn't have said it were possible, said Robertson primly.
Why not? A simple matter of temporal transference.
You mean time travel? But that's quite, unusual.
Not if you know how.
Well, how, Dr. Welch?
Think I'm going to tell you? Asked the physicist gravely. He looked for more alcohol, but didn't find any. He said,
I brought quite a few back. Archimedes, Newton, Galileo. Poor fellows.
Didn't they like it here? I should think they'd have been fascinated by our modern science, said Robertson. He was beginning to enjoy the conversation.
Oh, they were, especially Archimedes. He was overjoyed after I explained in some Greek I'd learned, but no, oh, what was wrong?
Just a different culture. They couldn't get used to our way of life. They got terribly lonely and frightened. I had to send them back.
Well, that's too bad.
Yes, great minds, but they couldn't adjust.
So I tried Shakespeare.
What? Yelled Robertson.
Don't yell, my boy, said Welch. It's bad manners.
Did you say you brought back Shakespeare?
I did. I needed someone with a universal mind, someone who knew people well enough to be able to live with them centuries away from his own time. Shakespeare was the man. I've got his signature, as a memento, you know.
On you? Asked Robertson, eyes bugging.
Right here. Welch fumbled in one vest pocket after another.
Ah, here it is.
A little piece of pasteboard was passed to the instructor. On one side it said, L. Klein and Sons, Wholesale Hardware. On the other side, in straggly script, was written, Willem Shakespeare.
A wild surmise, filled Robertson. What did he look like?
Not like his pictures. Bald and an ugly mustache. He spoke with a strong accent. Of course, I did my best to please him with our times. I told him we thought highly of his plays and still put them on the boards. In fact, I said we thought they were the greatest pieces of literature in the English language. Maybe in any language.
Good, good, said Robertson breathlessly.
I said people had written volumes of commentaries on his plays. Naturally, he wanted to see one, and I got one for him from the library.
And?
Oh, he was fascinated. Of course, he had trouble with the current idioms and references to events since 1600, but I helped out. Poor fellow. I don't think he ever expected such treatment. He kept saying, God a mercy, can things change so much in 5 centuries? I didn't mean any of it in this sense. What fools!
He wouldn't say that.
Oh, why not? He wrote his plays as quickly as he could. He said he had deadlines to meet. He wrote Hamlet in less than 6 months. The plot was an old one. He just added a few plots.
The physicist saw a cocktail on the bar a few feet away and moved toward it.
I told the immortal bard that we even gave college courses in Shakespeare.
I gave one.
I know. I enrolled him into your evening extension course. I never saw a man so eager to find out what people of today thought of him. During the course, He worked very hard.
"You enrolled William Shakespeare in my course?" mumbled Robertson.
Robertson began to recall a bald man with a strange accent. "Not under his real name, of course," said Dr. Welch. "Never mind what he went under. It was a mistake, that's all. A big mistake." Poor fellow. He had cocktail now and shook his head at it.
"Why was it a mistake? What happened?"
"I had to send him back to 1600, roared Welch indignantly. "How much humiliation do you think a man can stand?"
"What humiliation are you talking about?"
Dr. Welch tossed off the cocktail.
"Why, you poor simpleton, you failed him."